Amen. Thank you for that reading from Scripture. Good morning once again. It is so good to be with you all here today on this very first Sunday of a brand new year. What a blessing to be in worship together on this day. Thank you for spending some time with us. And just I want to talk to you just for a few minutes here with a sermon for your day. There was a famous writer and thinker about leadership named Max Dupree, who many of you have heard of, a kind of a thought leader from a previous generation. And he has this line, this famous line, where he says this: the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. What are we up against? What are we facing? What are our goals? What are we working on? What are our resources? Who are we and why are we here? And leaders ask these big questions, not just rhetorically, as if there can't really be an answer, but also practically in ways that lead us to action in the world. And when I ask these kinds of questions for myself or with you, I want to do it in a way that helps us to live out our calling together, to be better followers of Jesus, and to know how our church is really situated and meant to be in the world. So I want to kind of seed your imagination a little bit this week and beginning of this year, maybe to build the container together today, and even in our own imaginations, a container that's strong enough to hold some of the meaning that we want to put in it, strong enough to hold the things that we feel called to do together. So I want to give you some words, kind of some key words to hold on to and think about at the beginning of this year. So if you're at home right now and you're kind of chilling in your easy boy, what is it? Your recliner. If you're chilling, your feet are up, your head is back, you might be nodding off. Elbow somebody next to you, just right where you are. Just wake them up a little bit. Let them know. If you like to pinch, you know, your kids, hey kid, wake up. I want to just grab your attention and have you follow along with me for a few minutes this morning, because I think God has something to say to us through this scripture. So I'm going to give you three key words, and see if you can remember them. In our scripture reading today, the first word that stood out to me is the word blessing. The word blessing. I'm talking about three words that are realities for our lives. The first one is that we are blessed, that you are blessed. Ephesians says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So we're blessed. The word blessing is a big word in the Bible. Blessing has to do with God's favor or God's approval. We remember the way that in chapter 12 of Genesis, how Abram, God said to Abram, I will bless you and your family, and in you, all the other families of the earth will find their blessing. So God blesses us to be a blessing to others. Or maybe you think about the way that that song that we heard last week, you know, the blessing that the worship band sang, it's kind of going around. It's from the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, where Moses says this. He says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. It's a blessing for your life. There's something so good about receiving a blessing from God, receiving a blessing that somebody has for us. There's something so powerful about that we even might want to grasp it and grab it. You remember the story of Jacob, the trickster of the Old Testament, and how he tricked his father Isaac, and how he stole the family blessing that was meant for his brother Esau, but he got it instead. So the good news for us today is that we don't have to trick anybody to get God's blessing. We don't have to wrestle or fight or claw to get the blessing that God has for us, because God has already blessed us abundantly. That's the first reality of life I want to give you today. Now, we're just coming through 2022, and so you might be like, hey, preacher, I'm not so sure about that, but it's true. Even in the midst of a global pandemic where it's kind of easy to kind of forget about the many blessings in our lives, know this: God has blessed you. God is with you. You have found God's favor. Will you receive it? So there's an old saying among some Christians that you might have seen before, and this is what it says. It says, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Have you heard that before? It's on t-shirts or on the internet. Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed. You know, I ain't got time for that. because I'm just so blessed. You know, I don't have time for stress. But here's the thing. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true that we're so blessed that we don't ever get stressed. Because the reality is we do. We have problems and issues and things that we have to work out, things we're worried about. I was so struck just this last week during the Christmas Eve drive-through, when so many of you came through in your cars on Christmas Eve. It kind of felt good to come to church on Christmas Eve, even before the online service later. So many people came through, and many people shared with me or with Pastor Erica a concern from your life. We heard from so many of you just the life stories of what you're facing, what you're dealing with, the stresses you have. Now, not everyone shared their stuff with us on the drive-through, but I know that you have it. I know that you do, because we all have those kind of hard things in our life. So my message to you today is not to pretend that everything's fine, okay? Earlier in the pandemic, I got my wife Lisa a shirt, and I'll show it to you here. This is what it says. It says, I'm fine, it's fine, everything's fine. And it was kind of a funny thing, because that's how we try to make ourselves seem when we're talking to somebody else. It's all fine, so don't worry about it. But really, it's not fine, right? Underneath, there are real issues for us. And so that's the reality. So the teaching today is not to ignore or discount stress, worry, anxiety, problems, trouble of any kind. You don't need to say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. But here's the thing. Here's the teaching. In your loss, in your uncertainty, in your worry, in your boredom, in your pain, don't miss the blessings that God has for you, even now. Don't be so stressed that you forget that you're blessed. Okay? First off, on the first Sunday of the year, don't be so stressed that you forget that you're blessed. Don't discount your stress and worry, but receive God's blessing for you. I want to show you a picture today to illustrate this a little bit. It's a picture that is worth a thousand words. This past Christmas Eve, as many of you shared your concerns with me and of your life, one woman in our church, Young La, who we've been praying for with her husband's health, and he passed away about 3 weeks ago, she came through the Christmas Eve line, and she picked up her candle, and then she went home. And that evening, on Facebook, she posted this picture. I'll show it to you here, of her watching our Christmas Eve service online with her one candle on her own for the first time after her husband's passing. And she, this woman, had every reason to be stressed, has every reason to be worried and sorrow-filled and filled up with the troubles of her life. But she did not miss the fact that she's also blessed, that she's also loved, that she has reason for hope, blessed with everything that God has for her in her life, even in these days. That's a picture I want to meditate on when I start thinking about the worried side of life and forget about the blessing. She sought that blessing in worship that night, even in a time of trouble. May it be so for you. The second word from our Bible passage today has to do with being chosen by God. We are God's chosen people. We are the chosen ones. It says this, God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And I love this idea. It's really important for us as we start this new year. It does not say God has chosen us after we proved our worth, right? It does not say God has chosen us in Christ once we got to a certain level of faith or understanding or generosity or holiness or wisdom or prayerfulness or anything else. No, it says that God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the earth, meaning before creation, before anything actually started to happen. God had already chosen to be with us and for us as God's own chosen holy people. So that means that we have a purpose. We have meaning. We have, as the French would say, a raison d'être. And I want to give you this reality today so that you will know again that you are a chosen person, you've been chosen by God, and chosen people have great things ahead. We have things to look forward to and to do. In John's gospel, Jesus once said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So here's the point. God doesn't wait for us to get our act together before we are chosen. We're not like kids who have to prove our worth on a kickball field before we get chosen to be on the team. God chooses us first. I have a neighbor who has become an online influencer. Have you heard about this? An online influencer, somebody who, when they talk about a product or a service of some kind, people who follow them online buy it, and then they get paid. So they're actually kind of making money online. And what he learned how to do was to produce and send out memes, which are those online kind of cartoons and funny things. He learned how to do that really well, and so the more he produced and got out there, the more followers he gained. And so he started producing these to the point where he started getting even corporate sponsorships, and he was able to kind of work business deals and actually earn a living doing this. And so one of the pages that he manages, just one of his pages has 500,000 followers. Can you believe that? One page, 500,000 followers, just to see what he's going to talk about or put out there in the world, like a real celebrity, but he's actually a 17-year-old kid who lives in my neighborhood. It's amazing. So for him, right, this is how it worked. He had to grow his influence, and he had to gain more followers as he went before he could actually be able to talk about products in a way that mattered to anyone, before he could get into business deals and do something with it. But for we who are in Christ, for we who are chosen by God, it's the other way around. It's exactly the other way around. We begin from being at a place that is close to the heart of God. We have been known and loved and chosen, not because of how many followers we have, not because of all the stuff we've done, but we're chosen just by God's good pleasure. You are sitting at home right now, and you've been chosen by God. Just by God's good pleasure. Can you feel that? Can you receive that? I hope so. So it means when we're chosen, like Jesus said, I send you out to bear fruit, that we have some stuff that we can work on, even in a pandemic, to live out our calling in Christ. So you don't have to wait and see. You don't have to be like Santa Claus, where you know, see if you made the naughty list or the nice list. You can act and enact your faith even now in these days. God has said yes to you. As St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And that yes is for you. So knowing that you have that kind of freedom, that kind of security, that kind of position, I wonder how you will respond with how you live. I wonder how God will lead you this year in your faith, in your life, and in all areas. I can't wait to find out what that will look like. I can't wait to watch and see as you and I grow up together in maturity in Christ to live out our calling. So that leads me to our third word for today. We have the first one's blessing. Say it with me, blessed. Second one is chosen. The third word that comes from our scripture text in Ephesians that really just resonates is destined. The third word is destined. Ephesians says this, God has destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, and then later, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, we have a destiny. Now, I can't hear that word without thinking of the scene from Star Wars, okay? You know the one I'm talking about, where Darth Vader is there with Luke, and he's trying to turn Luke to come and join him on the dark side. And he explains that he is his father. And then in that one kind of famous line, he says to him, Luke, it is your destiny. Remember that line? Probably. But it turns out, Darth Vader was wrong. Darth Vader was wrong. Because it isn't Luke's destiny. Luke is able to have choice in the matter, and he doesn't want to join his bad dad doing all those bad things. When it comes to this idea of being destined, there's always a lot of choice involved. Luke chooses to go against this destiny, to join the dark side. And we also have choices to make in how we will live into our destiny, our future, with God and with each other. You have choices to make. We have freedom in that way. So let me give you an example of this that I think might just kind of resonate with you today. The year was 1865, towards the end of the Civil War, right? March 4th, 1865, Abraham Lincoln had been reelected as President of the United States, and he got up to make his second inaugural address. So, as you know, the Civil War was still going on, and he got up in that address to define reality for the country in that moment. That's what a leader does, right? He defined reality for the country. The end of the war was in sight. It was only 5 weeks after his second inaugural address on April 9th, 1865, when General Robert E. Lee surrendered his Confederate forces, effectively ending the Civil War. So it was 5 weeks before the end of the war, and everyone could see that that was what was about to happen. President Lincoln knew that he was able to speak to the country about what comes next, what is in the future, what is their destiny. And so this is what he said. You've heard it before. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds. End quote. Is that a strange thing to say? You know, you'll notice he does not talk about how they're going to punish all of those Confederate soldiers and everyone on the losing side for having rebelled against their country. He doesn't talk about punishment. You'll notice he doesn't talk about the debate over at the abolition of slavery, which was still a live legal debate. He does not get into the weeds of that at that moment. He didn't even gloat, you know, celebrate about how the Union's cause was just and right and how they had vanquished their foes and good had overcome evil and all of that. He doesn't do that. What he had in mind that day, President Lincoln, was the destiny of the country. As he put it, it was to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds. And I wonder today, as we begin 2021, if it isn't the same for us, where we also are in need of being made whole. We also need our wounds to be bandaged up, of getting this COVID vaccine out to everyone so that COVID can be in the rearview mirror one day. For us to just be able to work together, talk together, debate and disagree together, just to be together again as a country, as our nation as a whole today, as we come through such a bitter season that we have been in. Does God have more for us than just this? Is God's good purpose for us bigger than the pettiness of politics or the self-righteousness of whatever it is that we're self-righteous about? I guess what I'm wondering is this: if God has a destiny for us as a nation or as a church or as individuals, what will it take for us to choose to live into it? What would it take for us to say yes to the destiny that God has for us? Lincoln set the reality for the country that was divided, broken, hurting, and in deep trouble. He said that the greatest work that was ahead for them was about binding up the nation's wounds, to come back together again, to work and pray and hope. And as we begin this new year together as a church here at 2021, I believe that that is part of our destiny too, to be brought back together again. And I mean physically. I mean being together in this sanctuary. I'm in here all alone and wishing you were here right now with me. I think that's part of what our destiny needs to be. To be together in the sanctuary for worship or around the campus or in our small group meetings or having a cup of coffee and not feeling afraid about it, having time for prayer and Bible study, chances to be out in mission. We were talking this week about how we're going to some of the mission projects we want to do ahead, but we keep coming up against the same thing. We can't be together. Our destiny, though, is not to stay just the way we are. It is to come back together again. I look forward to that day. But then I also mean to come back together spiritually, to let no one be cut off or alone, to let no one be stuck at home while the rest of us are here. We need to build the bridge of technology, of opportunity, to make sure that when we come back together, we do it in a way so everyone can come back in a way that feels right. We want to give people opportunities to stay connected. If you're listening to this and you're at home and you're saying, I don't feel great about it even if I got vaccinated, we want to make a way for you to spiritually be together with your church family. That is our goal. But I also mean, along with kind of physically and spiritually, also to be brought back together in our thinking, in our minds, to share with the wisdom of the session elders of our church who have said, let's take it slow. Let's do it right. Let's keep moving together. We want to be on the same page as we work through this time toward what we believe is our destiny, to be together. But we need the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. We want to share in that together. So I believe that our church has a destiny for this time and this place. But like Luke Skywalker, we see that we can either opt into it or opt out of it. Like Lincoln, we can focus on the common good, which will not only be a good thing for us, but it will also be good because those who see it, those who hear about it, those who get a sense of what we're about, it will also bear fruit as God reaches to them through us with love. So my invitation to you today and into this year ahead is to say yes to what God wants to do in your life and in our life together, for you to say yes again today. Because we have been blessed, and we are called to be a blessing. Because we have been chosen, and we've been sent out to bear fruit. Because we have a destiny, and we have a choice about how we will join with God to pursue it. My prayer for you is that as you see the realities of life set before you this day, that as you do, you would once again embrace the God who embraces you. May it be so for you today. Amen.